Well, thank you for your prayers. We need them.
I want to thank the Lord also for the victory that He gives us. I also want to take this opportunity to thank all the saints. I tell you, we have a wonderful family. The family of God is fantastic. And there's the time you recognize it the most is when you go through some difficulties in life or some hard places and you see how much they reach out to you. It enriches. Reminds me of that song, "A Thousand Cords, Our Hearts Entwined." And I want you to know I love you this morning. You're my people. You proved it so many ways. And the Lord Himself has proved it. These are His children. And I'm grateful for that. And I will tell you that probably everybody here probably knows that I lost my mother recently in a house fire, and that was a very tragic thing. And I'd be lying if I tried to tell you in any way it's been easy, because it hasn't. And there's still some hard places, but I will also tell you that the Lord's helping us. Amen. And I want to encourage you that I think a part of grief is something that when it's your turn to experience, it's difficult, and it's grief. It's difficult, but the Lord helps and brings us through. And I have seen the hand of God in all this. One time, more than once, you know, there's always these questions of why. You know, why wasn't I there? Or why did it happen this way? And all kinds of things that come through your mind. The Lord helped me one time by showing me doors that He has opened in our community that wouldn't have been opened any other way. My mother always wanted to work for the Lord. She always wanted to. And she couldn't be a minister. The Lord, she would try to express herself, and she had a difficulty at times expressing herself. But she could really do it well in personal work, and she was good at personal work. I was amazed at how many people that she had touched in our community that I didn't even know about. People came out of the woodwork and told her how. And when she passed away in that fashion, I was amazed at how it has opened up a door in our doors in our community with people we had never. I don't think it could have happened any other way. God loves their souls too, and He wants to get them to heaven. And a man came over and talked to my brother and said, "My mother and I, we haven't talked for years." And he said, "I've talked to her more this last week than I have for a long time." He said, "I hadn't taken my family to church in over 20 years. He said, "This morning, or last Sunday, I had him in church." Those are good things. See, the Lord works. He loves souls. He wants people to make heaven. And even in my mother's death, she worked for the Lord. And so I've got to say, Lord, that's in Your hands. And that brings some peace and help to me. And I just want you to know that I'm encouraged this morning in the Lord. I thank You for Your concerns, Your cards, Your prayers, the silent smiles sometimes that You give me, and the feelings of support. I'm very, very grateful for that. Try to answer your question. How are you doing? We're doing fairly well. I keep on praying. Ask the Lord to bless the congregation up there. It's been a difficult place for everyone, but the Lord's helping us. I would like to talk to us this morning. I was privileged in my young walk with the Lord to be taught to be influenced by one of our spiritual giants, Brother Clifford Wilson. Those of you who spent much time with him and knew him would have to agree with me. He was one of our spiritual giants. There were different things that he taught us. He had a real love for people. He wanted to see them make it. And I'll just tell you this morning, I look out at a congregation like this and I recognize some older ones that used to be able to be here, not able to be here now. People have passed off the scene. And we're counting on you younger ones. We're really interested in you becoming established in the things of the Lord. We want to see you grow in grace. We want to see you deepen down in the things of the Lord. And we want you to become pillars. And don't think this morning that you can't become a pillar, because God wants to make you a pillar. In your own strength, you will never become a pillar. But submit yourself to the Lord. Love Him with all your heart. And I want you to know that the Lord is able to make you a pillar. The Lord is able also to use you. You may think that today you have almost nothing to offer the Lord in ways of skills or abilities. But I want to tell you, the Lord's able to make rocks to cry out. And He's able to use you this morning. I want to ask you this morning to purposefully submit yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And I know that's a scary thing to say. But give yourself into the hands of the Lord. Don't be afraid to do that. We're in this thing. We want to win. We want to win for our own spiritual needs. We also want to win for other people's souls too. We want everybody to go to heaven, don't we? Surely we do. That's part of the working for the Lord. Brother Clifford taught us, because he loved people, he taught us a number of very important principles, but there's three that came to my mind. One thing that he said over and over and over again, and he said, know God for yourself. And that is so extremely important. That's a simple phrase, but when you put that into action into your life, the act of getting to know God, not relying on the pastor, not relying on others in the congregation, but there is a place that God has individually for you, that you can know Him and feel secure sitting on His lap, talking with Him, bearing your soul, and He talks with you, and you begin to understand. And as you follow on in this pursuit of godliness, your understanding of Him only, it enriches your life. And it becomes more full, and your understanding of His ways become more cemented in your heart. And you're able then to have something. I want to tell you, Brother Peter and Brother John, when they went in that temple, they didn't have gold in their pockets, but they had something. They had something from the Lord. It was something they knew they had. And God wants you to have something in your own soul today that's able to carry you through the temptations, through the problems of tomorrow. And I want to tell you this morning, it's very important for us to know God for ourselves. It's very important for you to have times when you get alone with God in your closet, where you talk with Him. I've been out sometimes in my work, been out in the pasture. Out one time I remember going out there in the pasture and really I was looking at things, had some things out there to do. But I remember the Lord began to talk with me, and I stood out there on kind of this hill, and the Lord began to just talk with my heart, and I was talking to Him. You don't always, I love to kneel down when I pray, but I wasn't kneeling at this point. I was standing there, tears running down my face. He was talking with my soul. I was bowed in my heart, humbled before God, because He was talking with me. Oh, the precious times, folks. Know God for yourself. You're going to need to have that solid foundation. You know, that's what God builds this church on. Yes. Notice this. It wasn't, He didn't say, I'm building my church on Peter. No. That's not what He said at all. But He said, this revelation from God that comes from God. And on this rock, I build my church. You need to know God for yourself. You need to have that foundation. Young folks, I wanted to beg of you, spend some time getting to know God. It's so very, very important. Another one. That's not my message, but that's part of it. Very, very important for us to know God. Also, one of the key points that He taught us, and there's still a message rings in my heart over and over. He talked. I have it labeled on a tape, the cross. And I want to tell you today, many of us, we don't feel, when we think about the cross, you know, take up a cross. It's hard for us to want to bear a cross. Do you remember in the song number 300? I love that song. I love every verse of that song. Some people say that's a long song. It is, but I love every verse and every word of that song. Oh, the cross has wondrous glories. Oft I've proved it to be true. And I want to tell you recently, I proved it again. I want to encourage you this morning that in griefs or sorrows or difficulties that we go through, it's worth trusting God. It is the right way. And there's victories in it. I want you to know that. I know you all have had your own and you recognize that, but sometimes when we're going into a problem, into a difficult place, we can start having little doubts. Lord, are you here? Believe me, I had a few of those. I wonder, Lord, why did you choose this? Why did this happen like this? But I found God there. And while we're going through those times, sometimes you may feel like, Lord, what's the purpose here? But I want to encourage you. Now, I've been there. And I can tell you that God's there, and I want to encourage you that when you're going in, continue on with the Lord. Because you don't have to fall under it. The ship's not sinking. Where's your faith? The Lord will be there with you. The necessity of the cross is one of the things that Brother Clifford taught us. The necessity of the cross. Not just the cross of Christ that He died on. That was necessary for my salvation, but for my successful walk in a Christian, my successful Christian walk with the Lord, the cross is of great necessity in my life. Let me tell you why. Because there's an element in mankind that is diametrically opposed to godliness. And that element must be dealt with. And the cross is a tremendous tool. It is a tool, essential tool, one that liberates the soul when we take the old flesh life and nail it to that cross and keep it there and leave it there. And when it cries out to come down to the cross, continue to leave your sacrifice on the altar and say, I intend to go through. And along with the cross in conjunction with the effect of the dynamic effect of the Holy Spirit at work in our Christian life, those elements are absolutely necessary. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the cross. Holy Spirit will begin to identify places in our lives that need to be changed. And He doesn't do it harshly, but He does it so gently. He does it so really. Here's where it's important for you to know the voice of the Lord, to get to know God, because He will work on you and He will perfect that concerns us. God, remember a scripture. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Don't get hung up on the word chasteneth right now, but accept that He does chasten us. But I want to stop at the word, whom the Lord loveth. It's love. It's the very element that He uses when He looks at you and I, and He corrects, and He changes, and He molds and shapes these young lives. We parents, we love our children, don't we? We love them enough to guide them. We love them enough to give them instruction in life. And that is what God wants. He does for His children. We're His dear children. He loves us. Necessity of the cross. And then I want to go to this third element. Brother Clifford, I was trying to think of it. It's hard for me to really put it completely in words. But he identified the battlefield. And it's very important. If we don't know where the enemy is, we're not going to know where to shoot. It's very important for us to identify where the enemy is. And Brother Clifford many times tried to help us to know and understand that there's a great big battlefield going on in our mind. My thoughts. And I want to think about some of that this morning. Thoughts, the battlefield of my mind. The devil understands that. He will try to get you discouraged today. And how does he come into that? Does he start giving happy thoughts to get you discouraged? What does he start entering into your mind? He'll start working in such a way that your mind starts getting engaged in darkness. Here's a battlefield. We need to recognize it. We need to understand this is what the devil is doing. We're not talking about denying reality, but there's a place that the devil takes and he'll try to destroy and harm. Thoughts, so many thoughts. They can go in all kinds of areas in our life. But God wants our bringing every thought into subjection. Somebody look up that scripture. I want to get to that. Look up that scripture. Bring every thought into subjection. But I want us to notice in the very beginning how the devil began to work with Adam and Eve. With Eve especially. Over in the third chapter of Genesis. And we won't read all this, but you can read it. You recognize how the devil began to work with Eve. I want to tell you that the fruit would have never been reached out for and eaten unless the mind got involved. Somewhere, there was a place in Eve's heart and something got in her mind that she began to be curious about some forbidden fruit. And I want to tell you, curiosity about things we shouldn't be curious about is a very dangerous thing. That's in the battleground. When we begin to feed thoughts that are damaging to our soul, we need to recognize what it is. Recognize this is the battleground and Satan is trying to take advantage of us, trying to get us discontented, trying to get us to the place where we're more vulnerable to a downfall. Now, Eve had not sinned, but she was in battle and she didn't know it. Something drew her over to a tree that she had no business being curious about. Something made her put one foot in front of the other. Now, the best way to win a battle is before the whole army gets there. You get a hold of it when it's young. You get started right away. I want to ask you why in the world did a whole army let Goliath challenge them? Why? Why didn't that whole army jump out there and surround that man and take him down? Why? They let him dictate the terms of battle. They should have jumped out there and got him. Now, there's times when thoughts are small and beginning in our mind. God wants you and I to not give it sympathy. When it's young. Cut off some curiosity. Little things. Here's a battleground, folks. We need to recognize it for what it is. The devil is trying to lead us astray. There's another scripture that talks about the want. Your want comes as one that travels. I always haven't been intrigued by that verse because it denotes a progression. A one step after another. And your want. In other words, you have now lost. You've come to the place that you've become poor. Once you were rich. But you traveled from richness to poorness. And how did you get there? Well, you got there by putting one foot in front of the other. You headed that direction. At some point, we surely need to recognize, and God help us, here again, is the great importance of the Holy Spirit in our life when He begins to reveal to you and I this little impulse that this isn't right, son. Whom the Lord loves, He'll come in and He'll begin to reveal to our hearts, you're a child. You're my child. I don't like seeing what you're doing. Yes. He loves us enough to correct us.
I don't like the direction you're taking, child. This way is damaging. It's not that he doesn't like it. You're going to embarrass me. That's not... He said, no, child. It'd be hurting. It'd be hurtful for you to continue this direction. Lord, help us today to recognize... We live in a world where the devil is very sly. He's using all kinds of elements. And Sister Roberta mentioned a while ago about the electronic age, the technology age. We have so many things. And I'm not going to get rid of all... I'm not going to tell you everything is... All the electronics is bad, but be careful. Be careful what we do. There are some things that take up time that shouldn't be taking up time. Lord, help us here. Now, I'm just going to let that be in your mind and ask the Lord. You ask the Lord to lead you in ways that are profitable. You know what the difference is between... you know what it means to be profitable? That means... after you've done what you're supposed to do a little bit more. There's profit in this thing. It's not, we're not just breaking even, you see. Profit. So do things that are profitable. There are some things that are debits on your account. You got in debt now. It takes away. There are some thoughts that shouldn't be there. We're going to cut off the expenses. There's some things that need to be cut off. That's the Lord, when He, by His Holy Spirit, when we get to know the Lord, and by His Holy Spirit He begins to deal with and reveal these areas, He's doing it out of love. That we might be successful, that we might walk worthy of our vocation, that we as a congregation, as a body of saints, that we may show to the world what it's like. Not only to the world, but they may see Your good works and glorify Your Father, which is in heaven. No, we don't glory in our own good works. But we want them to glory in God. When they see the works of God, most of the time we don't see, a lot of times we don't see what the Lord is really... Once in a while, we can, like this song, I can see far down the mountain. And we thank the Lord. I'm grateful every time that the Lord has let me see. Because you get discouraged. You feel sometimes like I'm not going anywhere. But then the Lord said, well, turn around and look back there. And the Spirit is led unerring to the land of hope today. And you feel encouraged. And you think, well, Lord, You have brought me quite a ways. Thank You, Lord. And the Lord wants to do that for every one of us. Well, Eve got in her mind some thoughts that she should have never gotten into. And she got over there. Here again, I want just to think about the battleground that's in your mind. It's a very, very important thing for us to recognize this morning. Eve, because of her loss of this battle, she should have never walked over there. She shouldn't have put one foot in front of another. She should have turned around and come back the other way and said, honey, Adam, I've been having thoughts about that tree. And Adam should have said, Eve, you know what God said, we can't do that. Let's wait over here. Let's stop. God meets us right over here in the cool of the day. Let's come right here and ask Him to come meet us. That's the way to do battle. Do battle, folks. Be willing to fight against these things. But because she lost the battle, you and I deal with a strong battle of our own. The whole world is plunged into that type of a thing. And you and I struggle with it because... Sin has it's the nature of sin not to affect one person. Oh, it's an infectious cancer. My, how it's a disease that is rampant. And not only does it affect the sinner, but it hurts those who are saved too. The effects of it does. You might be living free from sin this morning. But I will tell you that I'm certain that you also are affected by the pain of sin. Because we all are having to deal with it. Oh, I thank the Lord this morning we live in this country. And I look around and I think, oh, there's a lot of things I'd like to change. And there is. Because it's... this country is marred by the effects of sin. It's terribly marred. Having said that, I'm also glad that I'm here. I thank the Lord for what we do have. But we are still being affected by the marks of sin. All right. Sin is progressive. Eve had no idea when she took of that fruit that wouldn't be that far down the road that one of her sons would kill the other one. Sin's progressive. And then on down the road, that sin causes a terrible grief in her heart also. On down the road, 6th chapter, we want to pick up with the 5th verse. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. See what happened? Mine, I think now, the battleground. They had capitulated the war. They had given up and just joined the enemy. Their thoughts, their imaginations, what they were contriving in their mind, the imagination, the thoughts of their heart ran only on evil all the time, continually. What a condition. What a terrible shape. And it grieved God. That's what it said. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. Sin has that effect. It's terrible. So, in this battleground that you and I have today, it's very important you and I recognize. I want to identify it for you today. I want you to recognize it's not this person that's treating me badly. That's not where the battle is. The battle is how I'm reacting to that person. It's my responsibility. I've got to keep my soul. I'll tell you, we've been blessed by those who have went before us and won some victories. My Grandpa Eck was generally a quiet type person. One time when they felt like the Lord had called them to work over in Grubbs, Arkansas. Young, small congregation over there. The Lord blessed those efforts. But in doing so, they left behind the farm. And they hired a couple fellas to try to work on that farm, to take care of it, people in the community there. Well, after a while, Grandpa started getting calls from the banker, from other people in the community, and say, you need to come back and do something about this. They're not doing things right. Found out some very... they were stealing some things. And people in the community was willing to testify. People were encouraging them to take them to the court, to law. And my grandma was feeling upset about it. And almost encouraging Grandpa to... Well, maybe you should. And Grandpa looked at Grandma and said, "Honey, I've got my soul to think about." He was doing battle. And I'm blessed today because my Grandpa thought about his soul. And you can say today he had every right. We look back on the he lost a considerable amount of money in that situation. Taken from him. And he responded by saying, "I got my soul to think about." Because he won his battle, I'm a blessed man today. If he had lost that battle, I can tell you what would have happened. That effect would have rippled out through the family. And we'd have been hurting today. But he won. And that's what God wants you and I to do. I want to think about another
individual here. Well, let's go over into Proverbs 23:7. Again, pointing out by this that the mind has a great effect. And it's very important. Now, you want to tell me today you're a Christian and going to heaven? Another thing Brother Clifford told me one time, he said, I wouldn't give you a dime for a fellow's religion that didn't make a difference in his life. I agree with him. If it didn't change your mind, if it didn't change your thinking, if it didn't set your mind right, you didn't get it. And I'll tell you that here today. If you claim to be saved and your experience with the Lord didn't turn your heart around and set you on a different road, you didn't get it. God wants to change your heart. He wants to set your affections on things above. He wants to draw you heavenward. He wants you to value godliness. And this verse over here in Proverbs 23 and the 7th verse, as this talking about the man here, as he thinketh in his heart, that's what he's going to be. That's what he is. If you have a heart for the things of the world, I want to tell you that's what you're going to be. If that's where your mind's headed, if that's what's going through your heart, through your mind, if you're consumed with all the things of this world, I want to tell you that's what's going to come out of you. So it's very important this morning that you and I recognize in our mind the place where the Lord wants to own and the place that the devil is trying to steal. And recognize the battle on everyday living. That's when we deal with one another. And I'll tell you, I've lived long enough to recognize that in even small congregations, it's easy to have frictions between people. And I would say here this morning that it's easy to have frictions in this congregation with the faces I'm seeing here this morning. And don't tell me you don't have any. But how do you handle that? Here's the important part. God never said you're not going to have frictions. Now, I've loved my wife tremendously. I love my wife tremendously. We had a lot of years together. 33 years. We've enjoyed those 33 years. Am I going to sit here and tell you today that we never had any frictions in those 33 years? I'd be utterly lying to you. And I would say that anybody here has been married very long in your life, but also have to... If you tell me you've never had any frictions, I'm going to look at you a little cross-eyed because I don't believe it. But what do you do with it? You see, here's the battleground. Life will present you with plenty of opportunities to go wrong. What do you do with it? The tree is always going to be there. The forbidden fruit was always within reach if you want to get there. It's our job. The battleground in our mind is the purpose in my heart not to walk that direction. When brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so does that again and irritates you to no end, you can stop it. You don't have to be irritated. Really? You can nurse something or you can shut it down. We have that within our power. Here's the battle of our mind now, folks. Now, the devil, I can tell you what the devil wants to do. He wants to accentuate all the frictions in a home, in a marriage. Believe me, he hates a marriage. And he will do all he can to accentuate all the frictions that can be found in a marriage and get them to the point that you can't even speak to each other. He'll do that in a congregation, too. Recognize it for what it is. It's not that other person and their quirky disposition. That's not what it is.
It might be you and your quirky disposition too. But it's not that other person. It's the devil at work trying to cause something to be built up in your mind. You ever heard of making mountains out of molehills? Sometimes the devil, boy, he's good at that. Don't let him do it this morning. Ask the Lord to help us. We don't have to allow the devil to win. God wants us to get victories over these small places in our life before they get large. Before they get large. You know, again, Brother Clifford, a giant. One time, I was telling him, had a lot of respect for his ability to see and recognize some things that maybe I was headed, if I was headed wrong, and I trusted him very much. And I told him one time, as a young man, I said, if you see me headed off in a wrong direction, I sure appreciate it if you just come and say, Brother Ivan, just correct me. I want you to have that right, Brother Clifford. I thought that was a good thing. He looked at me and he kind of ducked his head and he said, "Oh, Brother Ivan," he said, "I'll probably tell the Father on you." You know what he said? If I see that, I'm going to talk to the Lord about it. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that this morning. Now, there's a place I know. There's a place. And there was a place that Brother Clifford came and he talked with me about. But very seldom. Most of the time, he went and told the Father about it. Prayed. Pray for one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. Provoke to good works. Try to inspire one another. You know, if that other person is just not doing things right, it's not always your job to go over there and correct them. A whole lot of the time, it's real good for you to just get victory in your own heart and live right before them and ask the Lord to encourage them. And next time you go by them, say, "Brother, I'm praying for you. How you doing in your soul? You still encouraged? Oh, I love you. I want you to go to heaven." Folks, isn't that what we really want? Ultimately, isn't that what we want? Oh, the Lord took Peter. I believe Peter was victorious. I believe he made it. I believe he made it to heaven. And I believe John did too. John, who more laid back, and Peter, who said, "Lord, what's that? What's he going to do?" Peter, who was impetuous, and Lord knows how to take us to heaven with all our quirks. And the way for us to do that, we're going to have to do spiritual battle. We can't allow each other's personalities get to the point that it tears us apart. We don't have to. There's a battleground going on in our mind. And the devil would like to lead us down a road till it gets so blown up in our mind that we get so frustrated inside that it destroys us. And that's not what God wants. Do battle. God wants us to do battle to gain the victories in these areas. As a man thinks in his heart, if you're going to think that way, if you're going to head that direction, if you're going to have those feelings toward your brother, folks, it's going to come out. It's going to be you. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If we start harboring these ideas, these feelings toward one another, it's going to come right on out. God help us to get some victories. Well, again, it's very important. Numbers 13. Well, if I can go in the right direction here. Numbers 13 and the 7th, I believe it's the 7th verse here. No, that's why I read it wrong. 33. You remember this situation where the spies went over and they saw the good land. And I wonder how they must have felt when they got that bunch of grapes. They came across a bunch of grapes that was so heavy, so rich, that when they broke it off and laid it, they carried it on a pole between two men. Now, that's quite a bunch of grapes. Now, I wonder what they were thinking about that moment when they was walking along, looking the land over, and came, look at this. Why? Let's take it home for them to see. They got to see this. They're going to want to come on this land tomorrow. But something happened between that point and when they made it back home.
Yes.
That's good to look at the good and have, be encouraged. But something, you see, the devil doesn't like you to be encouraged. He doesn't like you to have the victories. He doesn't like you to do battle in your mind. He'll do all he can to crush you, to destroy you, to get you depressed, to get you to the point that you feel like you can't go forward anymore, get you irritated in your spirit. The devil will do that. Well, here they were on a mountain. Boy, look at this. Look at this bunch of grapes. Well, let's pack it back home. And they got busy trying to do that. It would have been quite a job to pack something that big back home, but they were headed that way. But on the way, somewhere they came across a mountain that had some big old giants in it. And it changed their perspective 180 degrees. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Isn't that amazing? Now, they weren't grasshoppers. These were children of God. They forgot that. They forgot what God had done up to this point. They forgot that God said, "This is your land." They had lost faith. I want to tell you, the devil wants to destroy your faith too. He'll attack it in your mind and bring such a doubt to your mind that you'll be crushed. Well, the 33rd verse here says, "And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." I believe they saw me just like I saw me. I was a defeated person already. So let's just go back home and sneak out of here, and hey, we'll even drop this. I got scared and I dropped a bunch of grapes. They're kind of burdensome anyway. I'm tired. I'm scared. Well, they should have at least brought the bunch of grapes home. But they ran back home. That's not where the story ends. That's a terrible thing. Folks, when you and I lose the battle, it affects greatly. And beyond this, you know the story, how it's terribly affected. There was, for the next 40 years, they wandered aimlessly in a dry place. God doesn't want you to wander aimlessly in a dry place for the next 40 years of your life. His thoughts toward you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected. And He wants you to have an abundant life. And I'm not talking about abundant life with your pockets full of gold either. I'm talking about your soul, right? And peace in your soul. He wants you to have joy in your life. He wants you to have families who love you. He wants you to have homes that are put together and sweet. And this is what the Lord wants in our lives. The devil wants to steal all that. He'll steal and kill that. But beyond this point, there were two men, Joshua and Caleb, that two of the spies that went over there. And they survived. The Lord said, "You're going to see the land. You're going to have it." Joshua, now 80 years old, or maybe older, back over there in the land of Canaan now. He said, I know him. I haven't seen an 80-year-old man yet able to feel like he was as strong as what he was when he was 40. But this man, he said, I haven't lost anything. I don't think he was talking about his physical arms. I believe he was talking about his faith in God. I think it only grew stronger over the years. This man had seen the hand of God in his life, in other people's lives. And he came and said, "Joshua, remember what? They said I can have that mountain, and I'm ready for it. Let me have it." He hadn't lost it in his mind, had he? He hadn't lost faith. The battle he won. He came with encouragement, with knowledge. He said, "My confidence is not in my ability, but it's in God."
Yes.
And that's where you and I need to have it today. Win that battle in our minds. Oh, it's a pitiful condition when I see myself as a grasshopper. I'm already defeated before I go into battle at all. No, God wants you to know today that you can win in this battle. Amen. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I believe it so. And I have found that even more true recently in what we... I want to tell you folks, I want to encourage you. And I don't want to keep referring to this because you don't deserve to keep thinking about my mother's death. But it's part of... But I want to tell you in the midst of the grief that we went through with my mother's death, I found encouragement in the Lord. I'm telling you, I want you to know the Lord was there. I've seen the hand of God. I want you to know that. Because when you're going through something like that, I want you to know the Lord will be there. I want to tell you that. I hope you can grasp that. I hope you know that there's victory in the Lord. The Lord will carry you through. I'm not saying there won't be hard places, there won't be grief. I'm never going to say that. But I will tell you, God's there. And you can win. You can come through. Now, there was... Oh, my time is really getting away. I want to go over into Samuel. First Samuel 16. We have an individual come in here that he entered into being a king in the right way. He wasn't self-absorbed. He wasn't didn't think a lot of himself. He wouldn't say, oh, "Look, I'm the best guy around here. I think you ought to ask me to be king." That's not he was hiding. He didn't feel like he was sufficient to be king. But Saul was chosen by God to be king. But in the process, somewhere between being chosen by God to be king, to this point in his life, he had made some poor decisions. He lost a battle in his mind. Somewhere, he urged himself beyond what God had ordained for him. And he took some liberties that was never supposed to be his. He got in trouble. And over here in 1 Samuel 16th chapter, in the 14th verse, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And it says, an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him." Sounds kind of contradictory. I don't think the Lord tempts any man with evil. It's not. So I don't think that's what this scripture is talking about, evil. But did you know when a man's conscience is defiled and he's guilty, he's going to think it's pretty hard. Guilt is a hard thing to deal with. It's evil. It's hard. It's difficult. It's something. It's not evil as we talk about sinful, but it's a hard. It's in the scripture sometimes that word is used like that. Evil. And the evil day. Not the sinful day, but the hard places. When the evil day comes. So, this was the evil spirit from the Lord. A hard. Guilt is difficult. This man, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from. What's left behind? Did you know it's of God also for you to feel guilt? That's good. It's also hard to deal with. But it's good when we feel guilt. God wants us to be able to do that. This man, this evil spirit from the Lord. Now, so what do you do with guilt now? He had made some wrong decisions. He got this evil spirit from the Lord. But the Lord is now dealing in his mind, bringing him to a place of guilt. And I want you to know today, when you feel guilt, one of the best things to do, what's a remedy for guilt? One thing is to come. So if I find that if I somehow offended Brother Purvis over here, and I found out later that we were offended, I want to come to Brother Purvis. I'm so sorry. I never meant to do that. And if I'd have known what I'd have tried to avoid, I'm so sorry. Isn't that the best thing to do? I'm so sorry. Forgive me. It's how we deal with it. Admit it. own it, recognize it. Then in my mind, I can say, well, but I shouldn't take it that way. All kinds of things the devil can build up in our mind. But the Lord wants us this morning to deal. It's not evil, but it's good for us to recognize. And then what I do, this is in my mind. I've got this guilt. Am I going to be crushed under it? No, I want to tell you this morning. We have, generally in congregations, we have people that are very sensitive of nature. While it's good for us to be able to feel guilt, I want you to know that the devil also likes to take advantage of sensitive consciences. Now, I want to tell you this morning, if the devil takes advantage of your sensitive conscience, the Lord wants to balance that out in your life, wants to help you with that. And that's not going to happen probably overnight. It'll be a time of the Lord will lead you and teach you how to deal with this and be able to have confidence in your walk with the Lord. The devil will try to accentuate every little mistake. Let me tell you how the Lord works with the mistakes in our life. He doesn't use it as a whip to destroy. Anytime you see something being used as a whip to harm you or to crush you, recognize it's the devil. Because, let me tell you how the Lord works. I hope you understand this. I'm talking to the sensitive consciences here this morning, at this point. The Lord comes like this. He doesn't discount the wrong. He doesn't say it didn't happen, child. No. He says, you fell down, didn't you, child? Oh, I love you. Stand up here. Let me help you up. And this is where we want to go now. Recognize. Now, and he's so gentle. Oh, he's a loving God with a sensitive conscience. He loves a sensitive conscience because he can give you suggestions and you just want to do it. And then he reveals gently how maybe I can avoid this next time or how to deal with that. The Lord wants to lead you. The devil wants to crush you. And I want you to understand that this morning. Here again, the battle, guilt is a wonderful thing for us to be able to feel, but don't let the devil destroy you with it. There's a way to handle it. Bring it to the Lord. All right. What's the scripture I asked about being renewed in the spirit of your mind? Does someone get that? Okay, there you go. Maybe that is a first. Yeah. All right, let me get back over. Where is that? 1 Corinthians 15? Or, oh, 2 Corinthians. All right. I should have known that from memory because I've quoted that many, many times. The Lord used this one time with me when I was going to a place where the devil would take advantage of me and kind of had me all crushed. And listen to this. It's casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself. Again, the battleground of the mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is a tremendous scripture here this morning. Sometimes that's easier said than done, but God wants you and I to submit ourselves, to commit ourselves to this type of an action. Some things that get exalted, the devil blows out of proportion. Things that try to be exploded in our hearts and our minds to try to crush and destroy. God wants you and I to gain some victories in those areas. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Now, when I'm bringing every thought into obedience, there's some things also of the world, that would try to temptations of the world, if I'm bringing thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ, these things of the world will automatically begin to be cut off. It'll set proper boundaries in our life, balanced boundaries in our lives. The devil would either like to get us tempted by the things of the world or get us so oppressed. He'll push us the other way and make us feel so overburdened that we finally give up. The devil wants to do that. He wants to defeat us. But God wants to hold us here in this balanced position. The battleground's in our mind. Oh, sometimes it's good for us to say, Lord, have a right spirit. I want it in my mind. Renew in me, Lord. I want my thinking to be right. Lord, set things straight. What was that other scripture that I mentioned? Was that Romans? Yes. Oh, that's over in Hebrews. That's why it's kind of like Brother Carl says that get in the right place, it'll read right. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. These are things that we can do. These are things that God wants us purpose in our mind to do. Lord, I want to give you. I want to know you. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my life. I beseech you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed unto this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. Now, some folks, the devil wants to corrupt our thinking. The devil would like to taint us in one way or another. Even living saved, the devil would like to try to twist our mind. And part of the reason why I'm preaching this to you today is because I'm probably preaching to an audience of saved people. But I know that the devil wants to twist our minds. I know there's a battleground going on in our minds as we go out through life, as we go to our jobs or raise our children, or as we rub shoulders with each other, as in our homes when we have opportunities of friction. I know what's going to happen. The devil's going to try to cause things to destroy us in our mind. He wants things to be built up in there. And this says, renew our minds. Be renewed. Bring things back in line with what's right. Sometimes we go down a path and I begin to realize that, you know, this don't feel right. You ever been driving? Kind of not noticing. Just lost in thoughts. And going down the road and all of a sudden say, this don't look familiar. It's hidden quite right. Well, spiritually, folks, it can be. There's a way we know. We know the way. If it doesn't blend with righteousness in my heart, we start feeling uncomfortable. Wait. Put on the brakes here. Are we going the right way? Did we pass up a turn? We took the wrong way back there. What do we do? Do we keep on going the wrong way? You know, I was coming down here yesterday. I passed up a turn. If I'd have kept on going that way, I'd have headed off out in Tennessee somewhere. If I'd have kept on going. But I turned around. And come on down this direction. You see, heaven's where we're headed. That's another quote from Brother Clifford Wilson. Heaven's where I'm going. Heaven. I'm headed. That's my goal. God help us this morning. When we begin to realize that I'm headed somewhere, I've taken a little wrong turn. I feel that in my spirit. This didn't feel quite right. I turn around. And be renewed, you see, in the spirit of my mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's a lot of other scriptures in the Bible that deals with our mind and our thoughts, and I'll let you continue to search that out and ask the Lord to bless you in your heart and in your mind. Because I want you to make it. Young folks, I really want you to become established in the things of the Lord. And this is an area that the devil would like to try to complicate things in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Because he wants to plant doubts, at least, in your mind. He wants you to see yourself as a grasshopper. defeated. And he'll try to tell you that what the saints have taught throughout the years is there's really nothing to it, and it really doesn't apply to today's world. I want to tell you, what the saints have taught in the past is not valuable because it's antique, but it's valuable because it's tried. And I want to tell you, mark the perfect man. Look at the upright. Watch the successful man. The one who has made it. And I want to tell you, Brother Clifford, I watched him in his life. Poor man. I had him under the microscope all the time. He told me one time a telemarketer called. I can tell you how I feel about a telemarketer. Yeah, you always had a pleasant conversation with him. Brother Clifford had a way. He talked to that person. He told me that one conversation he had that he wasn't real, wasn't happy with it. And the Lord talked with him. And he took the opportunity the next time to speak in a different way. He wasn't interested in anything he had to sell. But he had something to sell to. Folks, it'd be awful good if they call you, what's wrong with telling them about the good things of the Lord? They'll hang up on you, believe me, they will. It won't take long. But go ahead. At least they know when they hang up they didn't make you mad. You just tell them about the Lord. May the Lord help us. We want to win. I want you young folks to win. I want you to become established in the things of the Lord. You older ones, it's not far. Just a few more miles. Just a few more miles. I want you to be victorious. I want you to win. The devil would like to get right in there in the battleground of our mind and get us to the point we feel discouraged and downhearted. Oh, don't let the devil do that. There's victory. I want the spies have been over there. And to come back and say it's a good land. Spiritually, we can have that here. But I want to tell you, it's worth gaining the victory here because heaven's worth it. I want to make heaven. Pray for me.